Joining us now as we continue our Pacific tour, and it's been happening all week, Helene Elliott from the LA Times, as we take a closer look at the Los Angeles Kings and what they've been up to this offseason. It's been a busy one for them. Good afternoon, Helene. Thank you for joining us here on the Playbook on Sportsnet 650.
Sure. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Just battling my tongue here just a little bit this afternoon.
Oh,
but
yeah, that happens.
Yeah, it happens. Live radio. It's the nature of our business here. Helene, the Kings have been pretty busy for a team that we thought might be a little bit more passive. But look, the biggest story of all, Drew Doughty signing that monster extension, takes all the fun out of it, because then we can't sit here and speculate, oh, what's going to happen to Drew Doughty, a la Eric Carlson? Where's he going to go? All the trade speculation. But a pretty good deal here for the LA Kings, considering Drew Doughty's one of the best defensemen in the game today.
You know, your version of takes all the fun out of it, my definition is makes me able to sleep well. it would have been a circus if it had gone on all season. And, he would have needed bodyguards when they went to Toronto. So I'm glad it's resolved. I think he's glad it's resolved. I'm not sure if you know, but he did the final stages of it. He negotiated the final stages without an agent. So that kind of was an interesting approach. But I think it was a good move for the Kings. I know there are people who say, you know, by the end of the contract, how old he's going to be. But this guy, as you said, is every year among the top three defensemen in the NHL, not only in minutes, but in value to his team. The guy does everything, and he's just such a part of that locker room and such a part of the culture in there that I think the Kings were very smart to sign him for the maximum.
Helene, where does this organization see itself right now? They get themselves back into the playoffs last year. They have seasons from Anze Kopitar and Dustin Brown that show that they may not be quite done yet, although the previous year had left some asking that question. And now they add Ilya Kovalchuk on top of the Doughty extension. Is this a group that really sees its window as being the next couple of years to try and push and continue to contend in the West?
Absolutely. They believe that they can duplicate the performances they got from Kopitar, and I'm not as sure as they are that Brown can have another season like that. But they see this window as being open. They see their big needs were scoring from the left wing, which has been a problem for them for a long time, and the power play. And they believe that Kovalchuk can solve both of those problems. I'm not as sure as they are, but I'm, certainly going to sit back and see what happens. I mean, I saw Kovalchuk at the Olympics, and obviously he was very effective, but you have to also take into account the reduced level of talent at the Olympics. There were no NHL players there. So it was certainly easier for the stars to have great performances, and not to detract from what he did. He had a great Olympics, but still you have to put it in perspective. So I'm curious to see. The Kings are going to be one of the older teams in the league. They're not going to be any faster, and this is a league that's getting faster season by season. So there are a lot of things that have to play out. They still need one more defenseman, five, six, seven defensemen. And they think they can get back into the playoffs and have an impact. I'm a little less sure, but I'm willing to sit back and see, let it all play out.
Helene Elliott of the LA Times with us here on the Playbook on Sportsnet 650. You talked about the expectations around Ilya Kovalchuk that he'll come in and help offensively and help with the power play. What do you think would characterize a successful season for him in his first year with the Kings?
I think they're looking for 25 goals, probably. A lot of power play time, 25 goals. Again, it's really difficult to project based on what he did at the Olympics, and I didn't see him at all in the KHL. And again, you're looking at a league where the talent level is lower than the NHL is. They are looking for 20 to 25 goals, and maybe they'll get it. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we're all wrong. Maybe they'll counter the trend, and being older will be the way that they succeed. I doubt it, but let's see how it plays out.
Helene, the Kings have at least 10 players who are of 30 years of age or older, and this is a team that obviously is loaded at the top because of guys like Kopitar and now Kovalchuk and Doughty as well. But what kind of role will some of their younger prospects and players have on this team moving forward? Guys like Gabriel Vilardi, who have spent this past season, of course, in the Major Juniors.
Yeah, I think they're counting on Velarde to make the team, or certainly make a very strong run towards making the team. I think they're looking for a little bit more from players like Toffoli and Pearson and Kempe. They have to get it a little bit more from everybody, really. I don't think you can expect Kovalchuk to come in and score 50 goals. I don't think that's going to happen. But if you get a little bit more from everybody, that may be enough to get them a win. I mean, they've won one playoff game since they won the Stanley Cup in 2014. Mm-hmm. One playoff game. So they, with this aging group, they clearly aren't planning long term, based on the ages of Kopitar and Kovalchuk and even Jonathan Quick. Although goalies are a slightly different matter, but mm-hmm. You know, they think they have a window of opportunity this season and the next year or two, and that's how they're built. I'm not sure I agree with it. As I said, I mean, and you see it. You know, the league is getting younger and faster, and mm-hmm. this team is getting older. You know, maybe it'll work, maybe it won't.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So that 3-year contract for Kovalchuk is what I view the Kings' window to be. After that, no real promises or guarantees, because the game is going to be trending younger and faster, and more skilled hockey players will have something to say about it. But is this pretty much it now for the Kings in the offseason? They've got just over $2 million to spare in cap space, and pretty much all the roster spots, seemingly, at least on paper, except for the 6, 7, 8 defensemen, seems to be pretty much filled up here.
Yeah, I think they wanted Christian Folin to come back, and he left as a free agent. So they have to fill that spot. But, yeah, I think they're pretty much done unless they move some salary somehow. And I don't know that that's going to happen at this point. I think it's about time for all the general managers to go to their cottages in Northern Ontario. Isn't it?
Yeah, just about. With this Kings club, another big factor is they had this season where they got back to the playoffs last year without Jeff Carter for most of it. How much do you think they hope that a healthy Jeff Carter could help them, along with Ilya Kovalchuk, and kind of push them maybe a little bit further than we saw last year?
Exactly. That's their plan. That's their best case scenario. But as we all know, things like injuries and slumps and lack of chemistry have a way of ruining your best scenario, best case plan. So there are a lot of question marks in my mind. Among them, you know, can they keep up? Will the having an older team hurt them? You know, can Dustin Brown do again what he did last season? Can Kopitar again be at the level he was last season, which was really a pretty impressively high level? A healthy Carter help carry them into a better playoff position, where maybe they finish in the top three and not a wild card? But yeah, there are a lot of questions to be answered, I think, with this team.
Helene Elliott of the LA Times with us for a couple more minutes on the Playbook on Sportsnet 650. What do you think they have in Alex Iafallo? He came out of the University of Minnesota Duluth last year, played his first full season in the NHL, 25 points in 75 games. I know there were times when he was playing on the top line. There were times when he was down the lineup. Do they have a lot of hopes for him up front, particularly whether they use him on the wing or at center ice going forward?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, because for a kid coming out of college to the NHL, obviously the length of the season is different, the type of game, the physicality, the schedule, so much is different. I think that they're counting on him using his experience. Now he knows, he has a better idea of the pacing, he has a better idea of the scheduling, he has a better idea of the speed and physicality. I think they'd like to see him get a little bit stronger, certainly. But, I mean, you know, young guys are going to get stronger in their early 20s, late teens and early 20s. So I think that they are counting on him to make the most of the experience he had last season. And, you know, with young players, it's about consistency. And I think that's true in almost any sport. You know, a young player can have a scoring streak, or have a streak of a week or two where he's otherworldly, but then the schedule hits you in the face. And I think they saw that last year with Iafallo. I think they saw a mental fatigue as well as a physical fatigue. And I think they're hoping that he's learned from last season and can pace himself better.
It wasn't a picture-perfect playoff run, of course, for the Kings, losing the way they did to the Golden Knights in 4. But John Stephens, is he like a breath of fresh air for some of these players who, for the past number of years before John Stephens became the head coach, did, of course, had to deal with Daryl Sutter? And despite Sutter being one of the greatest coaches that we've seen in the modern age, his style can be a little grating on players, especially after being there for so long.
Absolutely. I think John Stevens was somebody they knew. John Stevens is somebody who had played a big role in working with Drew Doughty, for instance. I remember doing a column on John maybe 3 years ago or so. You know, John worked mostly with the defense, but, you know, he took Doughty by the hand and said, you know what, you have all this talent. You just can't let this go to waste. I mean, he really got Doughty to realize that Doughty needed to be in shape. He needed to invest a little bit more in the game, and Doughty certainly has. You know, they liked John Stevens. They trusted him. Some people say, well, he's, you know, just Daryl Sutter light, and that's not true. He gave the forwards a lot more freedom offensively, and obviously they didn't sacrifice anything defensively because they won the Jennings Trophy. But, yeah, John was a new voice, a different voice in a different position of authority, and the players responded well to him.
Last one for me, Helene. Jonathan Quick had a good resurgent season last year after dealing with all those injury issues the year before. He played 64 games. Traditionally, he's been a goaltender that's played quite a lot. He's been up near the 70-game mark or over it numerous times in his career. As he gets on into his 30s, do you see the Kings having a succession plan in the crease? I know they've got Peter Budaj and Jack Campbell under contract right now. And are they getting to the point where they feel like Jonathan Quick might have to play just a little bit less throughout the regular season if he wants to have longevity?
You know, in their minds, or from what I gather, Campbell is the number two guy. Budaj was basically a depth move for their minor league team, although, you know, the minor league team is an hour away from L.A., so certainly Budaj can be called upon if needed. It'll be interesting to see what they map out with Jonathan. He's one of those guys who, of course, given the choice, he'd probably play all 82, although no goalie should ever have to do that or anything close to it. I think that also with goalies, it's a little different. As they get into their 30s, it's not quite the same as a forward or a defenseman who might lose a step. I think with goalies, in a lot of ways, they can compensate for any kind of slower reflexes with smarts and learning the league and all that. I think they did a remarkable job in kind of rehabilitating Campbell and getting him back to an NHL level. And that's a question going into camp. You know, what is the ideal number of games for Jonathan Quick to play?
Very fascinating question. Although when he's on top of his game, one of the best and one of the toughest to beat for most shooters in the NHL. And Helene, before we let you go, it's been 15 months since Rob Blake was named the vice president and general manager for the Kings. In your experience, how has he fared in his first full season as general manager and the executive of the LA Kings?
I think the one thing he has done that was necessary, it was restore some depth to their farm system. The depth had been depleted very dramatically, and he's done some good work there in terms of free agent signings and with draft picks and just kind of restocking the cupboard, basically. And that was a necessary move. You know, he inherited a team with a Kopitar, a Doughty, a Quick, you know, the Carter. That's not too terrible. So, you know, at some point you say, you know, he started on first base in some way. But, you know, I think we need another season or two to really make a valid judgment on him. He's made some trades. He's made some moves. But again, you know, how you judge a general manager and a coach and a team is playoff success. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Kings said, well, you know, we lost in four, but we lost every game by one goal in the playoffs. And I think you're fooling yourself if you think that you're close because you lost all four by one goal. I think they have to come in with the attitude was, yeah, it was one goal, but how do we get two goals? Mm-hmm. How do we not only close the gap, but leapfrog past all these other teams in the division and the conference? And it's not going to be easy.
Not at all, but so far the LA Kings look like a team to watch in the Pacific Division for next season, at least for the next couple of years. Helene Elliott from the LA Times, really appreciate you giving us some time here on Sportsnet 650.
You're welcome. Take care.
Thanks, Helene.
Thank you. And yeah, as we continue our Pacific tour, we, of course, will take further looks at San Jose and Arizona before the week is done here. But Batch, looking at the LA Kings and what they've done here in the offseason, securing Drew Doughty for a bajillion years and bringing in Ilya Kovalchuk, do you agree that the Kings are the team to beat perhaps in the Pacific, considering, yes, there's Edmonton with Connor McDavid, yes, there's Calgary, and San Jose looks good too, but on paper, the Kings have an answer at every key position.
I think it's still Vegas, to be honest, just because of what they did this year, the fact they haven't changed a ton. I know they don't have James Neal or David Perron anymore, but they brought in Paul Stastny. They're going to get William Karlsson signed here. The Vegas Golden Knights, for me, are the team that we still look at as setting the benchmark.
Sportsnet 650.